Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to talk today about being thankful. And I know that's ho-hum, be thankful, big deal. It's hard to be thankful. I know when I was a young person, who cares about being thankful? All you waiting for was what was going to happen on Friday night. When I grew up in Doran, it usually played basketball games on Friday night, and some guys and I went camping all the time. We didn't do anything really bad, but we did some foolish stuff. And in the process of life, you don't think, oh, be thankful. But I'll encourage everyone, wherever you are, being thankful is one of the secrets to enjoying life. If you're not thankful, you cannot really enjoy life the way God intended. So I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just one verse. He says in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask you to encourage us from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to look at other verses because there are many verses on Thanksgiving, but I want to look today on the good of being thankful. What it does for you when you are thankful. The first thing it does is your attitude is changed when you are thankful. Your attitude. You know, we may not say a lot of things sometimes, but our attitude is what's really there, that sometimes people can say if we say it, and sometimes they can see it on our face. So the first thing that has changed is your attitude. That's why he said, in everything, give thanks. Now, I don't think he necessarily meant give thanks for everything, but in everything as you see life, give thanks for something. And there's three things I want you to mention that changes your attitude. First, your attitude towards God is changed. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When God begins to lay out his indictment against the sinful human race, one of the things is he's made himself known through his creation. They reject that and they're not even thankful for anything. God has given them a world to live in. God has given them air to breathe. God has given them the resources to live life. God has given them places to live. God has blessed us with so many things, but they don't even care. And so he says they didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. Thankfulness changes your attitude towards God, because when you're thankful, it isn't just being thankful, it's being thankful to God. Well, Lord, thank you that I have this. Thank you that you've blessed me here. Thank you that I have all these things, Lord. Thank you that I have salvation. It is changing your attitude towards God to realize all that you have comes from him. And the height of sinfulness is to have ingratitude. Oh, not a bit interested and thankful. Even though you take care of everything I have, I'm not going to be thankful for it. There's a story that says this way. In some parts of Mexico, hot springs and cold springs are found side by side. Because of this convenience, people can wash their clothes in the hot springs and then rinse them in the cold springs. A tourist one time commented, I imagine that they think God is pretty generous to supply such a situation, clean, hot, and cold water side by side for their free use. The person replied, no, there is much grumbling because he didn't supply us with the soap. Isn't that what we're like? God provides all this stuff, and all we can do is grumble about what he didn't provide. Thanksgiving changes your attitude towards God, and your attitude towards God determines a lot of your joy in life. Secondly, Your attitude changes towards your problems. Philippians 4 says it this way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul says that don't worry about anything, but if you have a need, then let that request be made known to God, but make sure you make it known with thanksgiving. Don't just be going to God all the time asking to correct this problem, and you don't take the time to say thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have done, for how you have blessed me. Thank you, Lord. You see, when you learn to be thankful in the midst of praying about a problem, the problem, as we said a couple of weeks ago, doesn't become so big that you become so overwhelmed by it. Sometimes when I face problems or discouragements, sometimes I let them become so big in my mind that I have nowhere else to see. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I can't see that God is going to work this thing out. The problem becomes so big. And one of the reasons what he said was, first, thank God. Thank God. And then make the request be made known unto God. Robinson Crusoe was wrecked on his lonely island, and he drew in two columns what he called the bad and the good. He was cast on a desolate island, but he was still alive, not drowned as the ship's company was. He was apart from human society, but he was not starving. He was without any means of defense, but he saw no wild animals on the island. He had no one to speak to, but God had sent the ship so near the shore that he could get all the things he needed for his basic wants. So he concluded that there was not any condition in the world so miserable that one could not find something for which to be grateful. The truth is, Paul says, don't worry. Don't get so consumed. The word worry means to choke out. To choke out. Don't be so worried about everything that you just choke out God and a perspective towards God and a realizing that, you know, Lord, I'm going to first be thankful for you. Oh, yeah, I've got this need. Yes, I've got this need. But let me be thankful for all the things you've already provided for me. And then I'm going to make the request. I'm going to leave it alone with you. And then I'm going to go on being thankful. Being thankful changes your attitude not only towards God, but to your problems. They don't seem to be as big. Thirdly, thanksgiving changes your attitude toward people. If you read the Apostle Paul, in just about every letter, except a couple, always wrote, I thank my God in remembrance of you. He said in one of those, Philippians 1:3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In other words, the Apostle Paul, whenever he wrote letters, even to the church at Corinth that had a lot of problems, he thanked God for what God had done for them and how he'd saved them and all the blessings they had. He was always thanking God for the people and good things he had. When you're thankful, it can change your attitude towards people. You know, people are not perfect. People don't always do what you want them to do. People are not always the way they should be. And if you spend all your time like with problems, focusing on their negatives and never stop and say, you know what, Lord? I thank God for so and so, and find something good to say. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that when I look at the list and kind of keep attendance, I have it listed by the ones who are most faithful, so I don't look at the ones who are not. And I go through it and write it up, and I go, you know, Lord, before I even go there, I'm so thankful there's somebody that even does come. There's some folks who are faithful to this church, and they are faithful. When they're not here, I know they're out of town, or I know they're sick. They're faithful to the church. And I can focus on that and be thankful and be appreciative. And then others, If you just look around, folks, at people, people are not perfect, but there is something you can be thankful to them about. In most of Paul's letters, he kind of wrote a rebuke. But before he wrote the rebuke, he always said, "But I thank my God in remembrance of each and every one of you." See, thanksgiving can first change your attitude towards God. Secondly, it can change your attitude towards your problems. And thirdly, it can change your attitude towards people. Be thankful for people. Well, I don't know the people in the church. Well, better find out their name and write them down and pray for them. And then when you do pray for them, say, "Well, Lord, I thank you for so-and-so. I thank you for so-and-so. They got a nice family. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I thank you they're faithful to the church. I thank you that I know if I needed help, I could reach out to them." In other words, find something to be thankful about when you look at people. Do you know what Paul always did in his prayer life? He didn't just thank God for his salvation. He always thanked God for the people that he had interaction with during his ministry. When you pray, do you ever thank God for the people that you know? Or do you just sort of move on about your business? If you don't learn to be thankful for people, they're going to get on your nerves. They're going to bug you. They're going to bother you. You're going to get irritated by them. But if you learn to be thankful and you look for good in folks, not that that saves them, but you will find many good things to say. "Well, Lord, you know, I am so thankful for so-and-so." Secondly, thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of truths when we are thankful. One of the things I think Paul was saying is, in everything, as you look at everything in life, be thankful. Because I think, one, you're acknowledging three different truths. One, you're acknowledging that God has worked in your life. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God is working all things to good. He's taking both the good and he's taking both the bad, and he's working them out to a final ending good product. Now, you may not see the end product, but he is at work working out. And when you're thankful to God that he has worked in your life. Friends, the only reason you have life itself is because God has allowed you to live this long. That's the only reason you have life. The only reason you have a house to live in is because God has allowed you to live in that house. You say, "Oh, I built it up by myself." Yes, you did. But it's only by God's grace. He could be like Job and allow the wind to come and wipe it away. The only reason you have a car to drive, the only reason you have clothes to wear, the only reason you have food to eat is because God has graciously worked. The only reason you even have any character, the only reason you have any sense about you is because God has worked in your life to produce some good things in your life. Secondly, you're acknowledging that God is working now. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." From the moment I got saved, God has been working, and today he is working in my life. I may not be aware of it, I may not see it, but he who began the good work in me will complete that work. He does not abandon his children. And so you can thank God, even in the midst of problem, "But Lord, I can look back to how you took good care of me." I look at situations and go, "Boy, Lord, how you took care of dumb me. You watched over me. You helped." I mentioned at the end we were talking about some circumstances, and I remember that my last year of seminary, I was going to stay. And because of something my mother said, I felt this strong tug, I need to go home for the summer. And that's the summer my father passed away. And we had no idea. And that was the time I was able to spend with my mother after he passed away and before, to be there with her. Had I stayed in, I was going to take a job up in Columbia, and yet I was there to take care of her and be with her afterwards. God worked it all out. God is working. God is good. You need to be thankful for that. But not only are you acknowledging that, you're thinking that God will work for you. That's why the prayer says, lift up your request, and God will take care of things. God will work things out. Now, they may not be to your satisfaction, and that don't mean it's just going to be one hunky-dory and you win the lottery and millions of dollars. That doesn't mean that. But it means that if God worked in the past, if God is working now, he will work in the future. He won't say, okay, all right, I see, I wrote it down. I've answered 50 of your prayers, and 50 is my limit. And I'm not answering any more. That's not the way God is. God always is ready to answer prayer. If you have a need, first be thankful, and then tell God. You know, oftentimes when I discouraged by things, the first thing I do is stop and ask myself, well, you know, Lord, the truth is, I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't been praying for that person, or I haven't been praying for that situation. I haven't been thankful for what you have done. I haven't been thankful for what you will do. And so the first thing, well, have I been praying? Before you go out and get all discouraged and bothered, ask yourself, have you been praying and been thankful? Thankfulness enables to let you know that God is at work. There was a man, story of a man, someone made up, story of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than the others, and he learned those seeds could grow anywhere. When Satan was questioned, he admitted that there was only one place in which those seeds could never grow and thrive, and that was in the heart of a thankful person. Said, I found Satan's place, and he had all these seeds to get ready to sow out there to discourage people, to discourage about, oh, look at the world, it's terrible, to discourage you. Oh, look at people, they're terrible, to discourage you. Look at my circumstance, they're to discourage you. There's no hope. And he loves to sow those seeds. But the only place those seeds can't grow, in a heart that is thankful. Professor, years ago, they invited some guy that was a liberal, didn't believe the Bible, to the seminary. And everybody's kind of surprised they did, but they did. And so he was speaking. And they heard one of the professors there, a very positive man, going, amen, amen, amen. Amen. And they were like, what is he doing? And then someone who was sitting nearby said, he wasn't amening what he said. You know what he was really saying? You didn't hear the other part. He was saying, every time the man spoke, he said, amen, I don't believe that. Amen, that is not true. Amen, that is a lie. Amen, I believe in Christ. He was amening that he didn't believe that stuff. In other words, he wasn't allowing the seeds of discouragement. He was looking for the good that God has done. Thanksgiving is in everything. Oh, I don't know the will of God. Oh, no. What do I do? What is the will of God? Well, here's one of them. This is the will of God, that you learn to thank God in everything. Why is God going to bless you with more when you haven't thanked him for what you do have? Why is God going to work in your life when you haven't thanked him for him working now? Learn to be thankful. Philippians 1:25, Paul said when he was in prison, he said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all your furtherance and joy of faith. What he's saying in prison, I know this thing's going to work out. God's going to work outside. He's going to change these circumstances. He's going to work. But then he also said, I know that he's going to work in me. So no matter what happens, God will work always on the outside to change your circumstances, and he will always work on the inside to change you. Some of the best things that could happen is that God would change you in your life and in your heart. And when you're thankful for what you do have, God does a work in you. Thirdly, There is an appreciation for what we do have because of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, because I think part of what God wanted was to be thankful for what you do have and not grumbling for what you don't have. It's interesting verses. Philippians 6 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." There's a lot of discontented people. You know what's amazing to me? The more people are given today, listen, if you listen to people complain today in the political realm, I just want to say to them, you people have got problems. You can get more than you want today. You can get any government assistance you want. You can provide anything in life. Anything you want in life, you can get it. There is no more prosperous a time that you could get things, and yet people are still not happy because they haven't learned to be content with what they do have. To be content with what you do have. Hebrews says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Learn to be content. Boy, man, I wish. More, I wished I had that 240Z. Oh, that's old, Dar, forget that. That's what I used to wish. Man, I wished I had that Corvette. I ran into someone this week and said their preacher friend had restored a 68 Corvette. I said, "Does he drive it?" "Oh, yeah, he drives it." I said, "Hey, maybe I could borrow it and drive through Boston." You go, "Hey." Learn to be content with what you have. You say, "But I don't have what others have." So? Let me give you a quote, and I'm going to read this twice. I found this very interesting. "If you haven't all the things you want, be grateful for all you don't have that you did not want." Now think about that again. If you haven't all the things you want, be grateful for all the things you don't have that you did not want. Well, Lord, thank God I didn't get that, and the truth is I didn't want it. Be thankful, folks, for what you have. You know, if a kid is constantly blessed by their parents, constantly given, and all they do is come back one more time and fuss and complain, you are not very motivated to reach in the pocket and say, "Here's another $20 bill. If they don't express gratitude and thankfulness, what's the same with God? Learn to be thankful. What I do have. Thank God the electricity does work. Thank God I do have a house to live in. Thank God I got a car. Thank God I've got friends. Thank God I've got food to eat. Thank God I got all sorts of..." Learn to be thankful for what you have and be content with that. You say, "But I want other things." That's fine. Then pray about them. But be content with what you have. There's nothing wrong with striving. There's nothing wrong with going for more. There's nothing wrong with achieving. But be thankful for what you are and what you have. Because why would God bless you with more? Because you're not thankful for what you do have. You know what? If you're not thankful for what you do have, your attitude was like a lot of people. Bitterness, anger, frustration, unhappiness. Because I don't have. You know, Romans 3, when Paul lists all the sinfulness of humanity, he sums it up in this little phrase: "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." And that word cursing does not mean profanity, though that should never come out of the mouth of a Christian. But the idea of the word is, when he talks about sinful people, first what comes out of their mouth is they're bitter about something. And secondly, they're cursing. That is, they're being complaining and critical. That's what comes out of their mouth. Complaining. Criticism. And deep inside, bitter. All you got to do is say the right person's name or the right circumstance name, and out will come a person's bitterness. I ain't talking about that person. It had nothing to do with that person. Oh, bitterness. If you haven't learned to be thankful for what God has done in your life, what you have in life, you're going to wind up being a very unhappy, critical, bitter, just complaining person. Woe is me and how terrible it is. You know why I preach this today? Because I needed it myself. I needed to be more focused on being thankful in life. I challenge you. Learn to be more thankful in life. If not, you can be an awfully grumpy, complaining, irritated person. I see them quite often during the daytime. I see some of the most gracious people. Sometimes when I go to the hospital, I see some of the most gracious people walk by, and I watch them and observe how gracious and kind and appreciative they are. And then every once in a while, I see somebody who just sort of makes a fit and pitches a scene. And it's almost embarrassing to watch the way they conduct themselves. There's a lot of people who are out there who are very appreciative and very kind. I visit them a lot. They're very appreciative, very kind, very gracious. Learn to be thankful so you're not this gloomy, down of the mouth, always looking at the bad and never looking at the good. Philippians also says something that I've always been thinking about a lot. One of the things he says is, after he talks about how great God works in a life, then he says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And then he says, so that you will shine forth as lights in the midst of a dark and sinful world. If Christians go out and act immoral, you destroy the Christian faith. But you can also destroy the Christian faith by going out there and complaining about things to people. And they will go, well, boy, I don't want your religion because it sure is unhappy. Learn to be thankful. I want to read for you a poem. I offer thanks for just familiar things. The ruddy glory of the sunset sky, the shine of firelight as the dusk draws nigh, the cheery song my little kettle sings, the woodland music of my giant pine, the last sweet tokens my garden yields, the mellow tints upon the autumn fields, the far-off misty mountain's purple line, the sense of rest that home so surely brings, the books that wait my pleasure true and fine, old friendships that I joy to feel or mind, of offering thanks for just familiar things. You can be so busy in life, you can't offer, well, thank you, Lord. You came in today and the air was working. Did you say thank you, Lord? You came in today and I was still alive. I don't know, you might not have said thank you for that, but anyway, you know, thank you. We had music today. Well, thank you. Well, thank you that we're here today. Well, Lord, thank you. You know, we kind of take things for granted in life. The only time we notice we're not grateful is if we come in and the air is not working. Then we notice. But you know, thank God. Do you look around today and say, you know, thank God, I really appreciate so-and-so. And say something good about him. Lord, I'm so thankful for. You know, I'm sort of the type person, and I have to really be thankful, because I oftentimes look at the glass as half empty rather than half full. I sometimes can look and go, okay, there's 999 things right, and I notice the one that's not. And I have to grab myself. No. Learn to be thankful. I want to challenge you this morning. Thankfulness and gratitude will do you good in life, and it'll make you a happy person. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for your precious word. Help us, Lord, in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to be people of gratitude. And if there's a problem and if there's a need, help us to be thankful for what we do have and then to take that problem to you and leave it with you and move on being thankful. Help us, Lord, to be people of gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.